Morning. My name is Amy. For those of you I've not met yet, I'm the new curate here. So I've been here 2 weeks, I think. So if I've not met you yet, come and say hi at the end of the service. We're going to be talking a bit about adoption this morning. We've heard a bit about Home for Good and the charity Home for Good. We'll be hearing some more about them a bit later. But to start with, we're going to think about what it means for us as Christians to be adopted. And I'm going to need a bit of help throughout this talk. So if you're kind of a young person or a child and you want to come and get involved, can I encourage you to move towards the front so that I can grab you as soon as I need you? There'll be lots for you to do this morning. So we've heard our reading talking all about adoption. And I want to just go through what it kind of culturally meant at the time. And I need two volunteers who don't mind a bit of dressing up. Are there two volunteers that wouldn't mind? You two, come, excellent, brilliant. Right, do you want to step right to the edge so everyone can see? Can everyone see you? Here we've got, what will we call you? We'll call you the Earl of Bucklesham. And here we've got, you're a servant in the household, so maybe you can get down and scrub the floor. Needs a bit of a clean. Excellent. So the context of this letter that Paul had written, he'd written it to the church in Rome at the end of the kind of 57-58 AD, so about 25 years after Jesus had ascended. And in the Greco-Roman culture of the time, if you were an important person like the Earl of Bucklesham here, you would have money, you would have land, you'd have houses, you'd have lots and lots of stuff, you'd have a title like the Earl of Bucklesham, and you'd have people in your house like our servant here, who would help you do stuff, who would clean, cook, look after you, generally make sure that everything went smoothly for you. But our Earl of Bucklesham here, if they had no children or no one to pass on their title to, when they died, their title would just flop. Everything they stood for would become nothing. There'd be nothing left to remember them by. So what would happen is our Earl would choose, our Earl's crown doesn't quite fit, does it? You had a tiara this morning, that would have been much better, wouldn't it? We're going to balance it like that? Is that okay? Okay, otherwise it will turn into a necklace. So our rich Emperor Earl would choose someone to be their adopted heir, who would carry on their title after they were gone, who would take on the money, take on the estate, take on all the stuff. And what would sometimes happen is, they would choose someone in their household, like our servant here. So do you want to pull up your servant? Pull her up off the ground. That's it. Help her up, go on. And pass your crown over. That's it. So the servant would become, should we take this cape off as well? Oh, we're going to get this off. There we go. Overnight, would suddenly be catapulted into this position of power, authority, fame, wealth, stuff. How does that feel? Nice? Nice? Feels nice. Excellent. Can we give these two a round of applause? They've been splendid. You can take it off now. Thank you very much. Are you leaving the crown on? Should I take it? You can leave it on if you want. So I take it. Oh, so there we go. That's what was happening with adoption at the time this letter was written to the church in Rome. So when Paul is writing and saying, he says, you've received a spirit of adoption, you've been adopted as children into God's family. That's what he was talking about, being taken from this place of nothing. We don't deserve this. We are so far away from this rich person, it's unreal. And God takes us and adopts us as children and gives us all of that. I think that is incredible that we're taken as nothing and God lifts us up. So that's the context that Paul was writing into. And the word that Paul uses as well is techna, which means children, so not just sons. In the culture, in the context, it would have been sons because that was really important to them. But the word Paul uses means everyone, sons, daughters. We're all included. God doesn't really care for social norms. His adoption crosses all of those boundaries. And God does that for us by his Spirit. We're filled with his Spirit to become sons and daughters of God. He says we're heirs, co-heirs with Christ. And we don't deserve it at all, but it's God saying, no, I want you, I choose you to be my adopted children. So what do we get as adopted children in God's family? Take 20, 30 seconds, talk to the people around you. What do you think, for want of a better word, what are the perks of being in God's family? We'll see if we come up with the same things. Okie dokes, I'm going to cut across your conversations. I'm not going to ask everyone to shout out what they got because we'll be here forever. But listen out and see if I've come up with similar things to you. One thing we get is intimacy. We get intimacy with the Father. In Aramaic, the word that Jesus uses when he's praying to the Father is this word Abba. It's not the pop band. I'm not going to jump up and start singing. But it's this word that means Papa, Daddy, the closest you can get to Father. It's not kind of, imagine a Victorian family where the children would be brought to their father for 5 minutes in the evening and then sent back off to bed. It's not that kind of relationship. It's a relationship where you can run up to them and throw your arms around them. Loads of love there, loads of affection, loads of intimacy. That's the relationship that Jesus says we can have with the Father. Another thing I think we get as being part of this family is assurance. We have this assurance that we're loved, that we're known. We've already discussed that we were chosen. We're cared for. We're not going to be left behind. We've got this assurance that God has got us and he's not going to let us go. Perhaps some of you have seen the film Lilo and Stitch. Anyone seen the film Lilo and Stitch? So it's set in Hawaii, and there's this Hawaiian phrase they use. And they say Ohana, and the little alien Stitch says, Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. And that's kind of the family that God brings us into, a family where we don't get forgotten, we don't get left behind. We're loved, and we're assured of that love and that care. And we have an assurance of our inheritance as well. This inheritance in heaven, the kingdom of God, when Jesus returns, we have that assurance that we can be with God for eternity. We can be in his presence, be in his love. And we have an assurance of our salvation. And then the third thing I came up with is we get to be part of this massive, huge family. Have a look around you. We're all sisters and brothers in Christ who've been adopted into this family of God. And it doesn't just kind of stop outside of St. Augustine's as well. This is a town-wide, country-wide, worldwide family of Christians who were adopted into God's family. A family can be annoying sometimes. Sometimes we have arguments. Sometimes we don't get on. But the point of being family is that we all come back to each other, to love each other, to care for each other. And it's not just people inside, that's the people outside as well. We're not just caring for ourselves, we're caring for those outside of the walls as well. But we get to be part of this massive family, which is a huge privilege. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, what you do. When we're adopted into God's family, we're adopted through the Holy Spirit, and we become more and more like Jesus through that. We take on this family likeness. And I'm not suggesting that we all need to grow beards and start wearing sandals more. But if you do that, there won't be judgment. If you want to grow a beard and wear sandals, that's fine. But more like Jesus in who we are and how we love people and how we care for people. And we become spirit-filled children of God. And verse 17 of the reading we heard says that we share in Jesus' glory, all the good bits about following Jesus and being a Christian, but also that we share in his suffering, that there will be hard bits, but also that we know we have that assurance that it's all worth it. We have this inheritance in heaven. And then as we become more and more like Jesus, we're transformed more into his likeness. We're prompted and compelled by the Holy Spirit to step in and step up where there are things happening that shouldn't be happening, where we see wrong in the world. And we can get involved in this transformation of society. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 is this prophetic command that we have from God for God's people. And it says this, stop doing wrong, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Well, if we're filled with the Spirit and becoming more and more like God, that command needs to elicit some sort of response from us. We can't sit back as adopted children of our Heavenly Father and not do anything when we see injustice. So how then can we respond to God? Because we've had this adoption that we don't deserve. Firstly, if you haven't been adopted into God's family, that can happen today, that can happen this morning. If you want in on this big family, if you want this assurance of love and security and everything that comes with being part of this big family of God, we have a prayer ministry team who would love to pray for you at the end of the service. It's the best family to be a part of. I cannot say that enough. If that's not you, get prayed for at the end of the service and become part of this family. And then, if we're already part of that family, if we have that assurance, we need to do more about these problems that we see in the world. We're called to respond. We're called to defend the orphan. And as we're talking about Adoption Sunday and what that means, and more about Home for Good, Melissa is going to come and talk to us about what we can do practically to support Home for Good, and how as Christians we can do what we're instructed to do in Scripture over and over and over again. Some of those statistics that we saw in the video were absolutely shocking, and I didn't realise. So Melissa's going to come and talk to us now, and just be praying as Melissa's speaking, thinking about what you can do, how you can respond. Not everyone will be able to respond in the same way, but we have to do something if we're part of this adopted family of God.
Good morning. Some of you may be aware that two of those children in the video talking earlier are mine. Well, mine and Tim's. they were adopted 10 years ago on Wednesday. So they've been with us 10 years. And some people in this church will remember when they arrived as a 20-month-old and a 3-year-old. But I wanted to share firstly what adoption means to me. Adoption meant the chance to be that mother that I really desperately wanted to be. But even more than that, it meant the opportunity of removing two wonderful children from the care system and for them to be brought up in a loving, stable, and forever family where they could feel that belonging and know where and have a good guide for the rest of their lives. So I just wanted to add that, because it wasn't in the video. we also fostered for a little while as well, for those who don't know. So I have got experience with fostering and adoption. And actually, I then got introduced to Home for Good. So Home for Good is a national Christian charity taking up the cause for the vulnerable children. You heard on the video, 40,000 children come into care every year in the UK. There is not enough foster carers and adopters to cope. So Home for Good is coming into churches. Churches in the UK today, many churches are doing Adoption Sunday to raise awareness and as a church see if we can encourage more people to step forward. But as Amy said, that is not something everybody can do. We need everyone to play their part in a different way, which I'll go on to share how you can be involved, how you can take up that cause and make a difference. So there was some slides. Yep. So if the next one, it just says, just to help you sort of clarify the figures, it's 109 children every day that come into care. And the next one, sorry. So as well as being an adoptive parent and experience of fostering, I took up the challenge to run the local movement here in Suffolk. So we are a local movement connected to the national charity in Suffolk. So it's a charity to find more families, speak to churches in Suffolk, get the awareness, raising of the need, but also Our charity connects foster carers, adopters and special guardians to give them events and activities and coffee mornings and things to bring families together to make sure that they are networked and feel supported, because that way the homes are stronger, the placements, the families are more likely to be resilient and to be able to cope with all they need. Okay, so the next slide, please. How can we respond? This is what I want to get to. How can we respond, A, as a church, and B, as individuals? So firstly, as a church, the next slide, please. Thank you. We are, I don't know if you know, we are a Home for Good church. That means we have registered with Home for Good to say we will be welcoming to foster carers, adopters and special guardians. We will make sure that those families in our church, of which we have 5 adopted families in our church at the moment, are supported practically through prayer. So we are a Home for Good church. We will raise awareness annually, if not more than that, of the need to do our part. We have, I'm not sure if you know, a support group that we run in the Lantern Room twice a month. And through that, we're not just supporting the families in this church, we are supporting another 16 families throughout last year, with 23 different children, foster carers in the local community, special guardians in the local community. They can come for a coffee, a chat, a play, and get to know each other and feel supported. We will be, hopefully in February, running a fundraising event for Home for Good in this church. If you think you can help us in organising that, come and see me and get involved. Help us to put an event to raise some funds for Home for Good. The funds can go to Home for Good Suffolk locally, and we'll give a bit back to national. But that helps us to run as a local movement here. You can pray. Everyone can pray. There is a card in your pew at the end on this sort of side near the aisle. These were given from Home for Good National. It shows you on the back sort of ideas of how you can pray for vulnerable children. If you want to be part of and connected to Home for Good Suffolk, we have a termly newsletter that goes out, and there's prayer points also on that. So see me and I can get you hooked in with the local prayer as well. There is a new Foundations course, which is a Bible study. So if you want to explore adoption and fostering a little bit more, it might not be that you want to do it, but you just want a bit more understanding and background. I'm hoping to run this in the new year. It's a 6-week Bible study. So if anyone wants to come and join me and look into that, come and find me and let me know, and then we can work out a date that works best for those who want to do that. And Home for Good Meals, we had one in January here. It's a chance to have an informal meal. I can invite some carers along to share their stories, just find out what it's like for adopters and foster carers and special guardians here. And what could you do to support them? So on the next slide, please. So this is what you can do as individuals as well. You can keep talking about adoption and fostering. Maybe there's someone in your workplace, maybe there's someone at your schools, maybe there's someone you know in the family that's adopted or fostered. You can signpost them, if they're in Suffolk, to Home for Good Suffolk, and we can get them connected in with others. You can also, if you know other people in other churches in Suffolk, ask me for a church leaders pack, and we can get other churches hearing about Home for Good Suffolk as well. There is a book that you can read which comes with a health warning, I think, because many of those who have read it have gone on to foster and adopt. It's quite powerful. So it's a Home for Good book. If you're considering adoption and fostering, come and speak to me. We can have a chat and a coffee and I can explain all the process. It's not as long as you may think, but it is in depth. And you can volunteer. So we've put on last year 48 different events for families. Maybe you can help us do the tea and coffee at something. You can help us plan an event. You can be involved in some way. So there's just so much you can do. Don't count yourself out and say, I can't. I'm too old to foster or adopt. I can't do it with my current family. It's not about that. It's about everyone doing something. And thinking about the body and how all the parts of the body are needed, really, to reach these families, these children, and to make a difference and transform this society. So the next, last one, I think. So if you want to know more, there is a Home for Good meal coming up at Greenfinch Church in Chantry, so the other side of Ipswich, on November the 28th. Signpost anyone you know or come along and find out more on that evening. I'm sure it'll be a delicious dinner too, so bonus. And the last one, I think that's it. So again, just not everyone can foster and adopt, but together we can transform lives.
Why don't we take a seat as we spend a while in prayer together. Good Father, we thank you for inviting every one of us into your family. We praise and celebrate you, Lord, for you have given us life, defeated death, and called us to know and share your love. We've gathered this morning to praise your name. We pray for our church here, St. Augustine's, especially as we're in between vicars, and we ask that this church will continue to grow, flourish, and faithfully love, serve, and share the good news with our community in this period. Lord, would you give vision and strength to those who will step up and lead during this time, especially our PCC and church wardens. Lord, would you bless the person you are calling to be our new vicar, guide them to us, and equip her or him to lead us in the next chapter of our story here. We pray for Ipswich. Would you pour your Holy Spirit on this town? Transform our society to more and more reflect your kingdom and build up your church to play our part in that. Would you be with the poor, the marginalised and the lonely in our community and help us to reach them? We pray for our country and especially for our government, parliament, politicians and all those who shape and influence this country. As we prepare for another election, we ask that you would guide us as a nation and that your will be done, your kingdom come here, we pray. We pray for all who are ill, grieving, lost or struggling in any way and ask that you'll bring healing, peace and direction. In a moment of silence, let's bring to God any situations or any people known to us that we just want to lift to God in prayer. So, Father, we pray this all by your Holy Spirit and in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The power and the glory.